It's another Wednesday, and therefore it's another Ask Uncle Lee video. So, if you've got any questions for this particular slot, then leave them in the comments below to one of the Ask Uncle Lee videos, and I'll add them to the list. Alright, so let's do the intro and then get into the questions. Welcome to my channel. You are entering the world of magic and mysticism with your host, Lee W. Johnson. Keep the lights on and help improve the channel by becoming a supporter for just $2.99 per month. Hit the join button. Okay, so let's start with the first question, which is from Mantis and Shadow. Hi Lee, thanks for teaching, it's a pleasure. Is the Grimorium Verum sigil for Lucifer suitable for working with the Venusian Lucifer? Or is the Ducant sigil the only appropriate one? There is no appropriate sigil for any of the spirits, actually. What you'll find is that you have the various different sigils different sigils for a same spirit. From different versions of people's workings with them. Quite often, a sigil will carry over from grimoire to grimoire. But usually what happens is they contact the spirit, they have a personal conversation with them. They may build a relationship in many of the cases with the Solomonic workings. There's not really much of a relationship that gets built. But regardless, they often are given a particular sigil. Now, this is actually one way we should be working, is we make contact with the spirits, we then create a relationship with them, and then we ask them for something personal. It's one way, when we get into the whole testing the spirits aspect, so we contact the spirit for the first time, we test the spirit to make sure that it is the spirit we want to work with and not an imposter or an astral parasite, something like that. Then what we should be doing is asking for something that we can use in future communications. That is usually a sigil, a name that you can call them by, your own phrase to call them, call upon them, something which is personal between you, only between you and the spirit. In a lot of the cases, what's happened is, like in the grimoires or in the books relating to the Ducant hierarchy and modern demonolatry, there's a lot of other people. Johannam has relayed a lot of personal sigils on his website, which have been relayed to these various people by the spirits, and then either, usually what happens is you keep it personal to you, it's a personal thing between you and the spirit only. But some people have decided to, or been given permission by the spirits, or for whatever reason have made them public. These are the sigils we usually use, especially when we are first communicating with the spirits. But it is something we should be doing, is getting our own sigils. If we work with sigils, a lot of people don't work with sigils. I do work with sigils as a kind of a reminder, almost a visual aspect. But when I'm actually doing a summoning, when I'm doing a calling to the energy of a particular spirit, I often won't use a sigil because I usually have my eyes closed anyway. In some cases, that may look like an internal visual thing, drawing it on a door which I'm going to open, which I'm then going to step through to talk to the demon, things like that. So I do use sigils, but not every single time. So for me, something like a call or a name or a phrase or something that I can use in order to speak to the spirit in future communications would be more appropriate. But it's that personal thing. So if you do work with sigils, ask the spirit. Once you've created that relationship, ask the spirit for something personal between you and the spirit that you can use in the future communications. And then you disregard all of the other sigils. You don't need to use them anymore. But which is more appropriate? None of them really. And when we're looking at what is interesting is when we look at the Grimorium Verum, I'll actually put it up here or somewhere around here when I'm editing. So we have actually there's four symbols in this particular image or figure. So we have, I'm going to remove the claw neck one. The claw neck sigil is kind of in the middle, bottom. So I'm going to remove that and just do the other three. Those three are seals and sigils of Lucifer from the Grimorium Verum. So that big round one, round disc with all the figures inside, that's actually Lucifer's seal. And then the one that everybody recognizes as Lucifer's symbol is actually the pertaining specifically to Grimorium Verum, where that symbol actually comes from, originates from, is actually the Lucifer that rules over Asia. The other one to the other side is the Lucifer that rules over Europe. Okay, so in the Grimorium Verum, and again coming back to this, is where this symbol that everybody recognizes as being the Lucifer sigil, it's this one that's made it famous, if we can say that, but that's the one that is actually, according to the Verum, is the sigil which pertains to the Lucifer which rules Asia. Nowhere else in the world, only Asia. So, you know, a lot of people ask the question, so should we even be using that sigil? Can't really answer that. You know, if it works, it works. And this is coming back to your question of which is the most appropriate one. The one that works for you, that's the most appropriate sigil. A lot of people will not work with these specific sigils if they are not living in Europe or Asia, because according to the Grimorium Verum, you shouldn't be using them, because this is a spirit which is not ruling over your own country. At the same time, if you want to contact a spirit which is in the Grimorium Verum, which falls under Lucifer, you're going to have to contact Lucifer first, according to the way it works. You contact Skirlin, then you contact Lucifer, and then you contact one that's under Lucifer. Or it may be contact Skirlin, contact Beelzebub, or Astaroth, depending on which one you want to work with. There's three greater spirits within the Verum. So you call Skirlin, then one of these three, and then the spirit which falls under the domain of one of these three spirits. Okay, so that's how you work with the Verum. So if you want to work with a spirit which falls under the domain of Lucifer, you're going to have to obviously call Lucifer. So it's not like you have to go to Europe or Asia in order to do that particular working, speak to that particular spirit. So, you know, the question of can you work with Lucifer or this sigil of Lucifer if you are not in Asia kind of falls away a bit. You know, it really does come back to what are you comfortable with, what works for you. If you're working with Lucifer, which sigil do you feel works better for getting in contact with Lucifer? So that's really what it is about. But at the same time, try to ask for a particular sigil which is personal to you and Lucifer. That's the best way to approach it anyway. All right. So let's go on to next question, which is Papu KI6FX. Small question. Do you think when giving water as an offering at home altar, is it somehow disrespectful to pour them out to the kitchen sink? I would like to pour the water to the nature, but I live in an apartment, so it's hard to do that. Get yourself a pot plant. And after, you know, if you do a water offering every day, you know, the next day you take the old water from the altar, you pour it into the pot plant, and then you go and give the new water offering. Really as simple as that. You can get a pot plant in an apartment. If you don't have a balcony or something, make sure it's an indoor pot plant. You know, really is that simple. But is it disrespectful to pour it down the kitchen sink? It is often considered to be disrespectful. It's probably better than pouring it down the toilet, but it is still considered to be disrespectful. You are kind of discarding the water into a sewage system or into a grey water system. It would be better to take that water and give it to something which can actually use it. in order to grow and live. And in your case, being in an apartment, I would say get an indoor pot plant. Okay. Yeah. So that's, I think that really covers that one. Now, if I can get back, there we go. Okay, next one. Use a EZ6JR9009F. I'm sure you know who you are, and you will be tagged, so it'll alert you. Thank you for this week's lesson. Great, I have a question. Please forgive my ignorance, it's not willful. Don't apologize for asking what you may think is a silly question. There are none. What is the difference between a demon and a god? I was told my whole life through that any god that wasn't Christian god was a demon. I want the truth. Okay, so let's start with any god which is not Christian god was a demon. That's their view. That's how they view things. You shall not have any other god before me, being the Christian god. It is a jealous god. It even says in, I think it was Exodus or Leviticus, one of those two, it actually says, states, I am a jealous god. Okay, therefore you cannot have any other god. So any other god being any entity, any spiritual entity, any entity which is just purely an energetic body, not a physical body like ours, is considered to be a demon because it's not the Christian god. And the Christian god is the only thing that rules over the entire cosmos, according to them. So that is very much a Christian perspective. It's a Christian worldview. And anybody who is not Christian, like myself and practically everybody who watches this channel, will not view it this way. We have interaction with any or lots of other entities besides the Christian God, and usually not the Christian God at all. And do we consider them to be demons? Well, yes and no. We don't consider them to be demonic in the Christianized, Westernized, modern sense of them being evil spirits. And this is the only reason why the Western Christianized English language took the older words of daemon and daimon and turned it into this modern demon, which got translated in as being an evil spirit. Because any spirit, any god, any kind of spirit which is not the Christian god is therefore considered to be evil and therefore is demon and was demonized. Okay, but if we have a look at the actual word demon, we have to then look at the Greek and the Latin. The Greek would be daimon, D-A-I-M-O-N, and the Latin would be daemon, D-A-E-M-O-N. Both of these words, and if you look into the Greek, there's a longer history than the Latin. So, you know, let's go to the Greek. So if we have a look at the Greek word daimon, D-A-I-M-O-N, where the word demon came out of, well, came out of the Latin. Greek to the Latin to the English, kind of sort of, that kind of progress. But if we have a look at the Greek word, this goes back probably back further than 3000 BCE. But this is probably the earliest recorded documentation of the word itself, but you know, it's probably used before then. But it actually meant, it kind of meant any entity which is aiding you. So that could refer to a god, to a fairy, to a nature spirit, to a djinn, to any higher intelligence, any entity which is actually helping you and is of a higher vibrational state, is a higher intelligence, divine intelligence, we can put it that way as well. But when we talk about it being of a higher vibrational state, this separates it from the astral parasites, which are of a lower vibrational state. These entities are parasitic. And just like we have parasites in our body, they're a necessary part of nature. They're a necessary part of life. They have to be there. You know, we can't eradicate them completely, because if we do, we create an imbalance in our world, in our universe. So even if we have a physical parasite in our body, it's a necessary part of the functioning of all things. But we don't want it there. So therefore, we take medicine and we eliminate that parasite. Same thing with the astral parasites. They are just lower vibrational entities. They will attach to you. They will create negativity. They will feed off that negativity. And exactly the same thing as physical parasites. We don't want them. So therefore, although they are a necessary part of the existence of all things, we cleanse them. We clean them off. So we do cleansing rites and things like that. But that's basically the difference between lower vibrational entities and higher vibrational entities. The higher vibrational entities are all of the gods and the demons, the daimons, the daemonic figures, or the daimons from the Greek. If we do go further into the Greek, we have the eudaimon and the kakodaimon. And the eudaimon is usually considered to be the good spirits. And another term for that in Greek is the agathos daimon. That's usually connected with Zeus Ktesios, and is often considered to be, this is the Agathos daimon itself, is often considered to be the protector of the household, or really the protector of the warehouse type of thing. But it's often revered as being the house spirit, the good spirit in your home, which will bring prosperity. Okay, so that's the Agathos daimon. But we have the eudaimon, which is also translates to good spirit. Then we have the kakodaimon, which is considered to be bad spirit. But we have to have both of these because, you know, it creates a bit of a tension. It creates a path that we can walk on, which is balanced. All right, so we have a balancing nature which comes into existence here. But anyway, so we have all of these spirits, and all of these spirits, which are considered to be higher vibrational entities, are then they can be considered to be daimonic, or demonic, or daemonic. You know, I think you understand what I'm trying to say. So it's really an old word which was Christianized and Westernized and Anglicized into this word of demon, D-E-M-O-N, which became this evil entity because Christian people considered any other entity besides the Christian God to be an evil spirit and therefore a demon, demonic, demonized. That's the only reason why we try to separate that understanding of the word from its origins of daemon and daimon. But we can consider all spirits to be daemonic or daimonic. And that includes the gods. I think that kind of gives you an answer to that question. And I think I'm going to leave the questions there for today. Let me just see what the next one is. Yeah, it's about ends. It's quite a long question, so I'm going to start next week with that. It's from Wake and Bake Man. Okay, so I'll start next week with that one. And have a good one for now. Cheers. Lovely.